So what are the conditions, he said? There are three things basically. Number one, verse 25, to love Jesus more than father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, and even your own life. The number one condition of getting salt in your life is to love Jesus supremely. He's more valuable to you. You love him more than you love your father, love your mother. You're willing to offend your father and mother, if necessary, to please the Lord. Now this is, remember, this is the same Jesus who taught us to honor our father and mother. We must honor our father and mother. Sure, respect, always speak respectfully to them, etc. But when it comes to what Jesus stands for, we are willing to offend our parents even. And say, I'm sorry, Dad, I can't do that. I'm a Christian. Sorry, Mom. I can't do that. I'm a Christian. You know, particularly when you're grown up. I'm willing. That's the meaning of hate. Hate is a strong word. And when I first read it, I couldn't understand it properly. It's a word relative to love for Christ. So, you know, Jesus used pictures. And I like to read the Bible with pictures in my mind. And the picture that came to my me in verse 26 was my love for my parents and for my wife and children. You see, that's another thing, including wife and children. I'm not supposed to love my wife or my children more than I love Christ. And I looked at it like this. The light of the stars is very bright. We don't see it so brightly because it's so far away, but it's very, very bright. Some stars are brighter than the sun. And my love for my wife and children and father and mother must be like the light of those stars. It must never be dark. No, there must be no darkness in my life. My love for my parents and my children and my wife must be a light like the light of the stars. But in the daytime, when the sun comes up, you look in the sky and you can't even see the stars. They haven't been eradicated. They're still in the sky. But the light of the sun is so bright that it says looks as if the stars don't exist. That's the picture I get from this verse. As I said, my love for my parents, wife, father is like the wife and children are like the light of the stars. But when compared with my love for Christ, it's like the brightness of the sun that it looks as if I don't even love my relatives. In other words, Christ is so important in my life that I'm willing to offend every one of my relatives in order to please the Lord. That's the only type of person who can be a disciple. He doesn't deliberately offend, but if it's a choice between Christ and one of his relatives, he says no doubt in his mind what he stands for. I hope that is true in every one of your cases. The second condition of discipleship is, verse 27, to carry your own cross, to say no to myself. Cross is a place of death. Inside our heart, there's a throne where self sits there. Self gets hurt, that's why we get angry. Self gets offended, that's why we have a bitterness against somebody. Somebody offended me in some way and I keep that bitterness forever. Because self is on the throne. That's why we get hurt. That's why we get angry. That's why we keep an offense. Jesus says you've got to kill that self and get it off the throne and let Christ rule there. That, in simple words, is the meaning of taking up the cross every day. Because you can put Christ on your throne one day and tomorrow you may put yourself again. You can be so challenged in a Sunday meeting. Yes, I want to put Christ on my throne. But it may last only for one day. And the next day you find self is back on the throne again. So Jesus said you've got to take up your cross every day. And I found that in the years since I understood what it means to take up the cross, that I have to make that choice every day in different situations. In this situation, am I going to get offended? No. Self is going to die. I will not get offended. Am I going to hate this man who hates me? No. I'm going to love him. Am I going to wish evil for this man who did evil to me? No. I'm going to wish good for him. Am I going to fight with this man who has come for a quarrel with me? No, I shall pursue peace with him. Because self is not on the throne. I refuse to get offended. I refuse to feel hurt. I refuse to have a bitterness against anyone. I refuse to keep an offense against somebody. I refuse to have an unforgiving spirit against someone, because self has been put to death. I make that choice every day. And you can make that choice for many days, and then one day you forget about it, and back comes all that old bitterness against somebody. This is what brings dishonor to the name of Christ. This is what makes the devil, we read in Revelation 12, that the devil accuses God's people to God. I'm very aware of that. I said, Lord, my Father in heaven, I don't want the devil ever to accuse me to you, saying, I have violated your law. If the devil turns around and tells God, see Zach over there, he's got a bitterness against somebody. Can't you see it, God, in his heart? See how he's offended with that person? See how he wishes evil for that person who did evil to him? I don't want such an accusation. I say, Father, let that never happen a single day in my life, that the devil can accuse me to you, saying I don't love somebody, saying I've got a bitterness against someone, or I wish evil for someone just because he did evil to me. Let that never, never happen. We can live that life if we decide every day, self is not going to be on my throne. Right from the morning, self will not be on my throne. Christ will be there. That's the meaning of taking up the cross. And the third condition is, verse 33, you can't be my disciple unless you give up all your possessions. And this is something which I've explained like this. Possessions are some things we hold on to tight. Does that mean I have to be like these hermits and monks who give up everything in the world and go and live in a monastery? No. No. True Christians don't have to live in a monastery. I've never lived in a monastery. So I've tried to understand this verse, and I've discovered that possession is what I hold on to. This is my possession. I possess it. Maybe a house or a car or something valuable. Maybe money or bank account or shares that you hold in a company. It's all possessions. And the Lord says you must not possess it. You can have it, which means you open your palm. It's there. The house is in your name. The car is in your name. That money is in your name at the bank account. You haven't taken it all out and given it to the poor. It's there. But you don't possess it. You don't say it's mine. Lord, I have it. It's in my name. And I say, I acknowledge that it all belongs to the Lord. I remember the first time in my life when I owned a house. I never expected I would. But my dad bought one for me way back more than 50 years ago. And I say, okay. And I was so scared. 1972. I honestly say I was so scared that this would become an idol in my life. I said, Lord, I don't want this house to be an idol in my life. And if you ever see this is going to be an idol in my life, burn it up. Burn it up. I'm willing to see it burnt into flames if it has become an idol. No. I want Christ to be Lord in my life. And I sought to keep that attitude towards my bank account, towards any possession I had. I used to ride a scooter. And I said, Lord, I don't want the scooter to be an idol. Dear brothers and sisters, make sure that you have, even if you have 101 things, you don't possess tightly even one of them. Say, Lord, they're all yours. If you have that attitude, you will not grieve if you lose something. I've lost money. I've lost different things in my life. I've had things that I own which are spoiled and wrecked. But I don't lose sleep over that. I say, it's okay. I had them. The Lord gave and the Lord taken away. That's fine. So that's the meaning of not possessing things. It's not becoming a monk or emptying your bank account. I must not hold on to it. Now, if I keep these three conditions, I'm a disciple. And this is what we taught right from day one. And we took many, many weeks to emphasize this because it was all new to people. Some of you, if you're honest, you will admit that in all the Christianity that you have been around so far, You never had it explained so clearly to you. And yet it's in your Bible. And some of you have been reading the Bible for years. Have you seen it so clearly as you see it today? Never forget it. This, we emphasized it because I saw through many years, God allowed me before we started CFC to be in many, many Christian groups for 16 years. And I saw what was missing. And what the Lord told me was, you've seen what is being taught in many, many Christian churches. You read the Bible now and find out what they don't teach and teach those things. So I said, okay, the things which others are teaching, I don't have to emphasize that, but I want to teach the things which they are not teaching. And this is one of those things.